Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh.
And I don't know who I want to be today. I want to be a different personality today. What do you think? I've always liked the name Scott. Scott McClellan. Okay, that was a press secretary for George Bush, so I don't really want to go there, I guess. But Ian. I like Ian because that's kind of Irish and Scottish. We'll just go with Chris today.
I'm not going to remember any different names. And by the way, Scott McClellan sounds like the astronaut that they keep in the back in the lab who never gets to actually do a spacewalk.
He's probably one working on the space toilet. You wonder how do astronauts go to the bathroom?
Very carefully. You know what? There are so many videos. People are so fascinated by that aspect of astronautics that there are so many videos on YouTube where astronauts are up in there in the space station explaining how it is that they drop a deuce, or they float a deuce, I suppose.
I think floating is what it's probably going to be like. I don't know. I got an image of what that would be like, because I have to do a colonoscopy.
Oh.
And they sent me this box, and I can do it at home. Well, and it's like I was reading all through it. I said, you know, Richard and I used to have laughs about pooparamas, but I've never really had to put it in a little jar and send it to somebody. But
absolutely. I mean, we are taking this self-service thing way too far. I can get behind like the self-service checkouts at the grocery store. I can get behind pumping my own gas. If I have a choice, if there are personnel ready and available, I'm not going to handle my own shit and package it up and send it off. Nope. Don't need to do it. Not going to do it.
It's been fun reading. Place it where?
I'm absolutely certain. Yeah, exactly.
What? I have to touch it? What?
No.
I bet you this wasn't what you wanted to talk about today.
Here we are.
Shit happens.
What I thought we would talk about today is a little bit more in the realm of wellness.
Good idea.
And when I say the word wellness, what do you think? What comes to your mind when I say wellness?
I don't know if I have a general word for wellness, but what I personally think about when I hear wellness is peace and tranquility. And I know that you know, people look at mental wellness, physical wellness, spiritual wellness, financial wellness, all that. But I think wellness to me comes down to peace and tranquility, to what your current state in life is. Because you can have a potload of money, but if you're not well mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, doesn't really make any difference. You could be the poorest person on the earth and have the greatest attitude. That's because of your wellness. I mean, that's just my take on it. But that's when I think of my wellness. You know, I'd like to lose, like tomorrow. I'm planning on going on a diet for 25 pounds. And that it's a part of my wellness. But if I didn't do it, it's not going to impact all the other things that I do in life. So, you know, again, it comes back to your own personal, at least for me, comes back to your own personal well-being. What makes you happy? What about you?
Well, it's interesting because my thinking of this has evolved a little bit. I just recently, and when I say recently, I mean within the past 5 to 7 years, became aware of this idea of wellness. Now, part of it is because now I work in an industry and I would be considered a wellness professional. But the medical industrial complex, it seems to me, has most always been focused on illness.
Right.
You know, being very reactive. We're going to treat this illness, or we're going to treat that illness. Or you go to the pill doctor and you get a little pink pill for what ails you. And then they give you a, you know, a little capsule for the other thing. And so all of it is focused on reacting to, you know, whatever consequences your body may have manifested based on your lifestyle, or, you know, perhaps and oftentimes through no fault of your own, genetics or whatever, things just happen to you and you get sick. Wellness is the proactive part of living in a healthy manner. Wellness is taking steps to ensure that not only do you survive, you know, not get sick, but you thrive. Like what you're saying, peace and well-being being the emotional aspect of wellness. That's the emotional and mental state we want to have, is peaceful and
right.
and happy and satisfied. But since I started working in the wellness area, you know, I've really started to look at how I treat myself and how I proactively make myself healthy, as opposed to just dealing with symptoms of not having the best lifestyle. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. But I did want to get your impression of what wellness meant. Yeah. And you absolutely nailed the hopeful end result of wellness in all dimensions of your life.
Well, I think wellness is going to mean different to different people depending on what their state of life is. You know, I guess what's coming to mind is one of my nephews who's handicapped and deaf, and his wellness is centered around his care and the joy and happiness he brings to people. That's going to be different than somebody else's wellness. You know, the wellness that the family thinks about him is to make sure that he's safe, cared for, and in a position to thrive as best as he can. And I think that when we look at it and through the lens of another person, we become a little bit more understanding of the nuances and differences of wellness and what it means to everybody. And I, you know, I do, and you nailed it as well. You know, there's too much focus when on illness rather than wellness. I don't know. That was the 90-year-old slut was talking about this last night too. Well, his wellness and at 90, how he says, I don't see as well as I used to. I don't hear as well as I used to, but I sure do what I can do and enjoy myself as much as I can. And I, again, I guess, it, you know, again, it comes back to that mental state that we want to put ourselves in.
So one of the tools that I use as I'm assessing how I go about my job in helping people with their wellness is this concept of the dimensions of wellness. Have you heard of the six dimensions of wellness?
I have heard of the six dimensions of wellness, but I want you to refresh my memory.
Well, then I will do that. So they're developed by this gentleman called Dr. Bill Hettler, co-founder of the National Wellness Institute, not a sponsor, by the way. So it's an interdependent model of six things, six aspects of your life that if you give them all the attention that they are due, then you will have a satisfying, healthy, thriving, growing life. And would you care to hazard a guess, or maybe it's not a guess, maybe you already know, what the six dimensions are?
I would think it's going to be our mental health, our physical health, our spiritual health, our financial health. I said emotional, physical, spiritual, financial. Can't come up with two more.
Okay. Well, here we go. And the reality is that since this model was made People have taken it and built upon it. I've seen models with 8 dimensions. I've seen 12 dimensions. And really what we're striving to do here is define the almost undefinable, because when we get right down to it, we really don't know what makes us tick. We really don't know what's happening inside this big bald melon that I got above my shoulders. We're just grasping at words and phrases and processes to try to figure out how to deal with this jumbled mess up behind my eyeballs. But the original 6, physical, intellectual, occupational, emotional, social, and spiritual. Now add to that, some people add to that financial, as you have said. Some people add to that natural, in other words, interfacing with the natural world, with the environment around you. But I've seen also several others. And so what I'd like to do quickly for our listeners and for ourselves is examine each of these and chat about maybe the things that we do to ensure that this dimension of wellness is addressed, or maybe we fall short. And that's okay too, because this is all about self-assessment. And the reason why I'm talking about this is not only do I want to pique the interest of the people listening, it's a good time for us to also assess right. and reassess ourselves. Let's start with physical. So as we look at our physical well-being, as we look at this idea of paying attention to how we treat our bodies, what we feed it, you know, how we exercise it, how mm-hmm. we take it in for regular tune-ups, how we perform self-maintenance, all of these things, so important. And you could spend a lifetime, I think, going crazy trying to figure out how to be physically well.
So many aspects to it, sure.
So many aspects to it.
But doesn't it come back to finding your comfort zone or stepping into your comfort zone?
Well, before I agree or disagree, tell me what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean by that is we all have wants, needs, and desires. They're going to be different from each person. And we have to be comfortable in, I've learned to be comfortable in my wants, needs, and desires. And what I mean by that maybe is identifying as a gay senior, you know, what are the layers to get to in order to feel comfortable in the perceived difference that society puts you in? So that whole thing about wellness, while it can be certainly general, it needs to be specific for each individual as well. And I think it comes back to, at least for me, stepping into your comfort zone, feeling, acknowledging who you are, what you do, how you do it, and being centered around that as your person. I think that's a key to, I think that's one of the keys to wellness, is being yourself.
Okay, so take that then, that idea, and apply that to the physical dimension of wellness, so I can kind of put bones and skin on that so I can understand how that would apply.
Again, I'm just going to use some self examples. I'd like to go back and bowl again. I really would. But I also know that my physical capabilities aren't what they were when I was bowling professionally. Do I risk the mental gymnastics of trying to do something that I was proficient at 30 some odd years ago? Or do I just kind of accept that, you know, the body isn't the way that it used to be, and I could be okay with the memories and find other things to do physically that can be just as appealing, that fits my current state of art? Does that help?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it does. It does. And so always assess where you are.
Yeah.
And don't try to get too quickly to where you want to go. And maybe you can't get there and you get somewhere else. Always have grace in all of these things, I would say. Always have grace with yourself.
Always have grace. Yeah.
So that's the physical. And you mentioned that you like to walk, and that's a way that you address mm-hmm. your physical well-being, which I appreciate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I like to walk as well. I like to walk the neighborhood. I especially love, and this is where the travel comes in, I especially love walking around a beautiful walkable city.
Ugh.
Oh, that, to me, that's the best kind of exercise you can get, is you're walking around.
Take me to Spain.
Yeah, Spain or London or New York or New Orleans, any of these places where you can just walk. That's the best exercise I think that I can get. So I love that.
Well, that type of walking, it's kind of like you're not even walking for exercise. You're walking for enjoyment.
Yeah. I agree. And that's the thing is as much as we can fold these dimensions of wellness into just the way we live our lives. So in other words, if we get enough exercise just living life, as opposed to now doing all the stuff that you have to do, and now I have to set aside 30 more minutes just so I can walk around the block 12 times. Well, it would be a lot better if we could build our lives in such a way. You know, back in the day, our ancestors, I mean, they didn't have to worry about their physical wellness because they had to go and they had to catch saber-toothed tigers. Or conversely, run away from saber-toothed tigers.
Right.
So, but yeah, building physical wellness into your life—that's amazing. That's how it should be done.
Right, and it's—I think it's easier to get out in a walkable city and do the walking because you have a destination in mind, or you got something you want to see. I'm contemplating after our recording today to go out and walk in the neighborhood, and it's always a mental gymnastics with me. I said, well, I'm going to go walk the neighborhood. Well, it's the same route, and you see the same things. It's really kind of boring, but it's good for you.
Yep.
So
exactly that.
Take me to Spain.
But
beam me up, Stoddy.
But the other thing is that if you, let's say, you enjoy listening to podcasts or music or whatever it is, then you can take that time. Like, let's say I decided I want to walk to the store. Then I can walk to the store, and I'm not particularly intrigued by, you know, seeing the same old thing to the, you know, that I see going to the store, but I've got my podcast in, and so I'm spending that time listening, and that's how
that's
I'm
another
enjoying
way of doing it.
It.
Again, I guess the podcast you want to be listening to as you're walking is Aging Gayfully or Familiar Wilson's. There's a couple that we could promote. So
yeah, absolutely. So, all right, let's look at some of these other aspects. Of course, there's intellectual wellness,
learning things,
reading, watching documentaries, listening to interesting podcasts, but always having that hunger to learn. And I will tell you that my intellectual wellness took a huge hit during lockdown.
Oh, really?
Oh, it did, because, you know, I think some people read more books and some people listened to podcasts or did whatever they did during the lockdown. Me, I was so emotionally tired that I would get home, because I was one of the essential workers who had to still go to their place of business. I would get home and I would just watch mindless things on TV or scroll mindlessly on social media because I was so burnt out. Now, I could have taken that time to learn a language or to do whatever, you know, I chose to do with that time to enrich myself, but I didn't do that. And I kind of felt it. I felt the fact that I wasn't feeding that I wasn't tending to that part of my garden.
I love that. Attend to your garden.
What do you do to engage your thinker?
I don't, you know, I think personally for me, I get caught up in multitasking. I wish I knew a way to stop multitasking so I could just focus on what is in front of me and put all the noise behind me. Now, it's a little different than what you were talking about, but when I, you know, you got me thinking about the lockdown and where I was, and of course, I work from home, so the lockdown for me wasn't as difficult as it was for other people, because I worked from home. So, but you still think about, you know, how do you motivate yourself to do the things that you should do to enhance your wellness.
Well, I will tell you that one of the things that I know about you is that you are always learning. And so that's very impressive to me. And that does speak to the fact that you do tend to that part of your wellness garden. I mean, this is now I'm talking to the audience. The amount that this gentleman has taught himself about technology, about websites, about streaming radio. You seem to me that you are someone who is always intellectually curious.
I appreciate that.
And now the things that I just described to you were things that you had to learn, right? Because in order to do what it is that you wanted to accomplish, you had to learn it. But what you're doing there is you're continually flexing that muscle, that muscle between your ears. And that is nothing but good for you.
Well, and my learning with my learning skills, and I didn't know this until I was in my 50s, when I was diagnosed as being dyslexic, how that changed my, well, it certainly answered a lot of questions, but how it really intensified my way to learn. And the, you know, the way to learn is by, at least for me, is by doing. If you're going to get me to try to read a manual, and you just know this from the work that we've done. I've said this, just show me once how to do it, and I can figure it out from there. And that's kind of like why audiobooks are better for me than getting me to sit down and read a book is arduous because of my dyslexia. And then I even wrote a book. So imagine what that was like. And we're going to do an update of the book before the end of the year. So it's like, but I think I could do it better now because the technology is there to help.
Yeah. Learning what your learning style is also very, very important.
It's a big key.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big key.
It's the one thing that frustrates me about our educational system is that we teach to the widest swath of kids all basically in the same way, because we got so many kids in general in the classroom that you don't have the time or the personnel or the resources to teach towards all of the different teaching styles or learning styles rather. And so, for example, the educational system failed me because I'm mostly a visual learner, you know, and that's where YouTube is wonderful, because if I want to know how to fix my washer, as I did a couple months ago, I just look up a video, I watch the step-by-step, and boom, I've got it. Oh, I understand now. Now you can, as you're saying, you can put that in a manual and I can read it. But it takes a little bit more effort on my side of it to understand sequence and really kind of put it together. Just show it to me. Just show me, like you're saying.
Yep. Just show me. Just
easiest
show
thing.
And, you know, I'm from the show me state, from Missouri.
There you go. Show me state. That could get dangerous.
Show me.
Yep. So, okay. So we've done physical, intellectual, and let's talk about social. I think what we'll do is we'll split this into two episodes here. So we'll end up here. We'll do three dimensions of wellness today, and then we'll move on to the other three.
Next. Yeah.
So social, again, the pandemic, lots of folks took a hit, you know, and we saw it both because we suffered, especially my wife, Amanda, who's extremely social, but then also our children were taken away from their peer group, and especially for the 7-year-old who was then at that point, you know, three, a foundational time where kids learn how to be social and how to build social bonds and be socially appropriate. And we still deal with the consequences of that to this day, because that was a foundational time. So if anyone is primed to look at the importance of social connections, you know, it is a bunch of people who are socially isolated for a period of years.
Socialization is, if we're going to talk about wellness, it's probably one of the keys to wellness. Socialization is critical to all components of wellness. And going back into my seminary days and thinking about the religious folks who are contemplative and they live in cloisters, are the hermits, you know, those folks that can, you know, that they're solely focused on their spiritual life, and the way that they're doing that is their focus is not so much on them, it's for the greater good of others through prayer, contemplation, and sacrifice and all that. So I admire those folks who can put themselves in that role, devoiding them of contact with another person. It takes a lot of discipline to do that. But for the majority of society, socialization is key to all forms of wellness.
Absolutely. I find that I learn much better when someone is teaching me or showing me, as we talked about before, but when it's another human being, as opposed to a book, and even as opposed to a video. And it goes beyond the fact that you get to actually ask the instructor questions, which is a crucial point of learning anyway. But I think it's just the being in someone else's presence.
Right.
There is, for lack of a better term, there's a magic there. It's why I think that social media has really turned into anti-social media, because what it's served to do, or at least, if there's not causation, there's at least correlation. I think that it's served to separate people even more. Some people might settle into, okay, well, I'm just happy with my online friends. Well, okay. But I really do think the value in connection with other people lies primarily in the physicality of it.
Exactly.
In being in the presence of another person and being able to see them, see the micro expressions on their face and hear the pitch changes in their voice and to smell them and to be able to touch them, all those things. Even as we're looking at physical pursuits, anyone who's had a workout buddy can say that accountability there that comes from another person being there to say, hey, let's do one more rep, or let's walk an extra block or whatever. There's such tremendous value in that as well. And as we look at the other dimensions of wellness next week, occupational, spiritual, and emotional, and especially emotional, all of that, as you are saying, is tied up in, social ties.
Social ties.
So if I guess what we're saying there is, if we were going to rate these on importance, maybe social might even be more important than physical.
Oh, I think so. Very much so. Social will lead to the physical.
If you're lucky.
Right, if you're lucky. Social, without a doubt, is the most important.
All right. Well, between now and next week, I encourage you all listening to think about these dimensions of wellness. You can certainly look up the six dimensions of wellness, if you would like, do some more research. But we have talked about physical, intellectual, and social. So how are you doing in those spheres? They're healthy?
I'm interrupting you because I'm just thinking maybe we should be playing some fifth dimension music.
or you could sing it.
Oh, well. I only sing in the shower.
Oh, there community. You go.
It's not socialization.
No, that's not a social event, you in the shower.
That's okay, not a social event. Well, I'm open to it, but...
I was going to say, we'll work on that. Would you like to shower with Chris? Get in touch. Yes, I am at hnkfully.com is the email address. How appropriate.
I am selective, though, so...
All right, Chris. Well, go ahead and give an overview, because I think I just did it, but I don't want to steal your thunder. If people want to get in touch with us, what are the many ways that they can interface with us?
They can email us at yesiam@hnkfully.com. yesiam@hnkfully.com. You can go to our website, hnkfully.com. Our YouTube channel is building, and we've got some merchandise that is available too. Some shirts, hats, scarves. We'll have some travel accessories available here soon. And we're just kind of growing and mowing. I just made that up.
Yeah, I'm not going to read anything into that. I do want to put
mowing my beard.
Your beard, yes. I do want to throw out there a special request from Chris and I. If you are listening right now and you are getting anything at all from what we're saying, please tell your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Spread the word of Aging Gayfully, because we want as many people as possible to benefit from what we're saying. And also, to be perfectly honest, we're selfish. We just want to get to know more great people.
That was Josh telling people that we're selfish.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, I'll go for it.
I mean, but
we want more listeners.
We're the healthy kind of selfish. How about that?
Yeah, we're the healthy kind of selfish. We're the social selfish.
That's right. All right, folks. Until next week, I have been Joss. That's been Chris. And you all go ahead and age gayfully.
Hasta luego.